Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Chip Roy joins the program. And then EJ Antoni, we talk about Congress, continuing resolution, the economy, and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Chip Roy. Congressman Roy, thank you so much for taking the time. Chip, I have great respect for you. You've been doing, it's been a tough year, I know. There's been a lot of ups and downs, some disappointments, some wins. But I like our new speaker. What do you think, Chip Roy?
Look, Mike Johnson is a good friend. He's a good man. He's a believer. He is someone, obviously, he's a father of five. He's a beautiful wife. He grew up, or he represents the area my mom grew up in Northwest Louisiana. But here's the thing. Mike is already demonstrating a willingness to listen. We've been having serious conversations over the last week. He's been speaker less than a week. And it was, as you've noted in your introduction there, it's been after a year of some turmoil. And what you're seeing unfold in front of us right now in full display for the American to see is the debate that needs to be had. The American people are tired of the status quo. They're tired of the same old thing. And if you keep putting in place the same thing, you're going to get the same results. And Mike represents a departure from that. It was telling last week that there were senators that were somewhat mockingly in their Republican lunch saying, wait, who is this guy? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mike is a strong, convicted man. He's liked across the conference. Now the question is, can we get busy getting the stuff done that we need to get done? We need to fund Israel, but we need to pay for it. We need to separate it from Ukraine. We need to get busy figuring out how to get our appropriations bills done. And we need to secure the border of the United States.
So Chip, walk us through what I consider the biggest issue is the CR omnibus stuff, the continuing resolution, and then the omnibus kind of muscle memory. We have to break the fever, 12 separate spending bills. I didn't love Speaker Johnson saying, well, maybe we have to go to January. Yeah, I got to be honest, Chip, you're not going to like what I have to say. You might have to work through Christmas. Bring your family to D.C., you know, this whole idea of Congress punting before Christmas, I don't like it. It has not proven to be what's the best for your constituents or the American people. So fill us into some of the inside baseball here of what we're thinking scheduling. And are we going to have another CR?
Yeah, well, if you rewind back to January and you remember that a lot of the discussion going on then about Speaker McCarthy or not, and fundamentally what at least I was trying to do was change the institution. And you're alluding to one important part of that. In my lifetime, I'm 51 years old. We've only passed 12 appropriations bills, the total number of bills that we're supposed to do our job four times. And so the fact is that we have to do our job better. Now, to your point about being here, I never thought we should have left over August. I think that was a failure by former Speaker McCarthy. I didn't think we should leave at any point. Any of these weekends when we were debating the speaker, I thought we should stay in town. I think we should stay in town now to get our job done. To be clear, there was about a 40-day stretch. I only saw my family about 5 days. You know why? Because I stayed in Washington. I thought we needed to keep working. And frankly, as a result, we've been moving the ball down the field. Now we have 5 appropriations bills passed. We have 2 or 3 that are waiting on deck. They are not where I want them to be, but they cut spending, at least the 1% that the debt deal sought to cut. I thought we should go further. And they massively changed the priorities to the priorities we think represent the American people. So now the question will be, when we run out of daylight in about 2 weeks, what do we do? Because I don't think we can push all 12 across the goal line by November 17th. We might. It'll be close because the amendment process. Even if we do, the Senate won't approve them by November 17th. So the question is, what do we do? In my opinion, we've got to stay the course to make sure we cut spending. I do not want some long-term CR that punts. Maybe you have a short-term, several-week CR. Maybe Mike's right. Maybe you kick it into January. But my big thing is we need to stay in town and get our job done, send the appropriations bills to the Senate, and force the Senate to the table. What I don't want to do is tee up a big omnibus bill before December like they did last year. And remember, one last point. A CR is nothing more than continuing that disastrous omnibus bill that they did last December.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be used for emergencies. And Chip, if we had a Republican majority that thought the way you did, this wouldn't be a problem. You got these moderates that drive me crazy. But I think you can understand my – from pattern recognition of doing this for a decade, and you know this, Chip, the closer you get to an election, especially over that New Year's, the courage goes down, right? So it's kind of this graph, right? So my argument to you and Speaker Johnson is no way in hell should you guys go to January, because you're going to have even less courage from these members. The argument should be, guys, do the tough stuff. Maybe you shut it down. Maybe you get 10 out of 12. And then you get this done by December 25th, 26th, 27th. People will forget about it by early January if there were some tough decisions to be made. Do we really think that, you know, weak-kneed Republican members are going to find a spine in January of an election year?
Yeah, Charlie. I mean, look, you and I are on completely the same page here, and I think we're saying roughly the same thing. All I'm suggesting is, look, I'm not going to support a so-called clean CR, okay? I'm not going to fund a CR at Nancy Pelosi levels that funds the United Nations that just crapped all over Israel, that funds a Department of Homeland Security not to secure the homeland, that funds all manners of sins, including the World Health Organization, that undermined our health freedom through all the COVID pandemic. I could go on and on. Why would we fund that? But my question here is, what can we do in order to move the ball forward? And I'm going to give Mike a little bit of grace. He's been in the job for a week to kind of figure out what he can do. I thought we should put forward a continuing resolution, or call it something different, a stopgap spending measure that cuts spending and does so for a short period of time and jam that over into the Senate. Say, look, you don't want to shut the government down. Fine. You're going to reduce spending. Or you don't want to shut the government down. Fine. You're going to pass HR 2 and the measures necessary to secure the border as a price for continuing the funding of government for a month or 2 months. What we should not do is continue to kick the can down the road and do a continuing resolution of the same garbage the American people are tired of. So I think we're saying the same thing while we try to move the appropriations bills forward.
So I guess the question is the current, just to make sure I understand, when does the CR expire again, Chip? What is the date?
I think it's November 17th, I believe. November 17th.
So right before Thanksgiving, right? And so yep. What are the subjects or the topics? And if you pass 10 out of 12, would it be a partial government shutdown?
The short version is this. We've passed 5 of the 12 appropriations bills. We've passed DOD, that's Department of Defense, MILCON VA, that's Military Construction and Veterans Affairs. We've passed State and Foreign Operations, State Department and all the Foreign Operations stuff, and 2 others. We just passed Energy and Water this past week. We have a number we have not passed. Department of Justice, Department of Education, labor, HHS, all of those are in packages that are still on the table for us to pass. Even if we pass them, Charlie, we got to get them to the Senate, and they're not going to want to pass what we pass. So they're going to want to go to conference. So right now we have a job to do to get these appropriations bills through at our priorities and at lower spending levels, and then force the hand of the Senate. That we can only get so much done in the next 2 weeks, but we got to keep our foot on the gas to do it. And then have a debate in the middle of all that, by the way, on this whole Israel debate and Ukraine that's coming around the corner.
The focus for you and Speaker Johnson, every time you guys do a media hit, instead of just saying the Senate, here's my advice, just say Sinema, Manchin, Brown, and Tester. Those red state Democrats, they're sweating, man. Their approval ratings are going down. Instead of just, doing the Chuck Schumer thing, if McConnell was smart, which whatever, he's going to focus on those 4 people as a leverage point. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Realistically, we have a $2 trillion deficit. Where do you want the House conference to go all in of places to cut spending? There's even some hangover COVID spending, from what I understand, which is hundreds of billions of dollars, which is just an outright fraud. I'm sure you saw that $250 billion was just stolen. I mean, we have a $6 trillion budget. We have $4 trillion in revenue, $2 trillion in deficit. Where do you think is the best place to reasonably cut spending to get us closer to a balanced budget? We probably won't get there, but closer to a balanced budget.
It's a longer form question, right, on how to handle the extent to which we have $33 trillion of debt, right? $2 trillion deficit spending. If you ask me how to prioritize it, first, we have to target the discretionary spending because that is what is empowering the weaponized government against you and me and undermining our freedom and driving up the debt. It's doing both. The second thing we have to do is stop these supplemental spending bills that are unpaid for. That's why it's critical that we pay for the Israel bill. As much as we may want to support Israel, and there's some debate in our country, we need to pay for it. Whatever we do with Ukraine, maybe it's zero, maybe it's 20 billion, maybe it's 50 billion, but you got to pay for it. We have to stop this thing where we write blank checks. The third thing we need to do is we need to dive into so-called mandatory spending. That includes obviously Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Now increasingly veteran spending is now permanent and mandatory. That means it just keeps going through no matter what we do in our discretionary budget. And in order to tackle that, the biggest thing we got to do is go after healthcare prices. That's the real issue. And you've got this massive, big healthcare that has vertical integration where they own everything, where you've got United who fund all the doctors. More doctors work for United Healthcare than anybody else. We've got to break the back of big healthcare in order to drive health prices down. I know that's a lot, but in order, the thing I can handle right now, we need to pay for Israel. We need to hold our spending in check on discretionary spending this year, spend less in 24 than in 23, and then we need to focus on mandatory spending next year. I'm on the budget committee, and we've already got some plans to try to address that.
Yeah, it's going to be a fight. And what I'm most concerned about, not just the interest payments, but the stuff that DC doesn't want to touch at all, and just the lackluster attitude towards Ukraine, for example. Do you think we're going to be able to get Israel and Ukraine? I know that the House is going to pass thing, but the Senate, it's done on arrival. But do you think that legit will actually be able to peel Ukraine into its own vote? Because a majority of Americans say no more aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, first of all, yes. Mike Johnson has said that. We've talked about it over the last week. I have made clear that I will oppose any rule. I will oppose every procedural option. If they try to jam through a Ukraine-Israel combination, especially with all that bogus border spending, which just processes more people. So, yes, we will separate them. I believe that. Otherwise, there'll be a massive fight going on in D.C. But we still, even if Israel is independent, I gotta state this clearly. I love Israel. I actually believe it's important in our national security interest to stand on the wall alongside Israel. But we gotta pay for it. I applaud Speaker Johnson putting in this IRS money. There's $78 billion sitting there, taking $14 billion over here to pay for Israel. Let me tell you what, if my Democratic colleagues don't want to do that, fine. I got $12.5 billion that we spent on the United Nations in 2021. I think it's about that now. Wipe that out if you want to. But we've got to go do this the right way. Pay for it out of current year dollars. I'm tired of it. I'm over it. And that is a line in the sand for me.
Chip Roy will be watching closely. Again, just my editorial feedback. Don't be afraid of a government shutdown. I know, but the fear from the government shutdown last time is what triggered the whole speaker, thing. And I know that people don't want to hear it, and you haven't been home very much, but working through Christmas, the worst decisions I've seen is when Congress wants to get home for Christmas and they'll just sign off on anything. This Christmas vacation pressure has done a lot of damage to our republic. Doing a great job, Chip. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. So yesterday I visited the University of Arizona. And I really, this is one of the most fulfilling parts of my job, of my career, I guess you could say. I get to sit and I talk to students for hours on it. And some of these conversations, I mean, I'm not too moved by. I'd say it's a small percentage. Some of these students are super smart. They're just being misled by the cabal, the cartel. Some of them are not so smart. They reveal themselves. We move on from those conversations. But I'd say about half of the conversations I had yesterday at the University of Arizona were economic or financial in nature. Now, interestingly, I want to just read this email. See, so here's what I do. We do a lot of different sort of events, but this one in particular, show up, our Turning Point USA group at University of Arizona. They did an amazing job organizing. And literally in the middle of the quad free speech event, I'm sitting there, you know, in the sun, 80 degree heat, whole thing. University of Arizona sends out this email. As many of you are aware, the group Turning Point USA is scheduled to hold a rally around the Student Union and Administrative Building. UAPD is currently monitoring the situation. Oh, they're monitoring us? Please encourage faculty, staff, and students in your units who may be impacted to consider avoiding the area. I want to share with you the following services on campus. Students in need of mental health support can contact Campus Health Counseling and Psych Services. CAPS can be reached by calling blank. We X'd out the information there. Scheduling an appointment online. For crisis support, call this phone number. You also have employee assistant counseling and the threat assessment and management team. So I go on a college campus to talk about why young people can't own homes. And the University of Arizona is more worried about Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA than Hamas supporters who want to exterminate Jews. University of Arizona sends out an email to the entire student body saying that if you need mental health support, we have counselors and psychologists available. It's hard to put this into words. My appearance at the University of Arizona could not have been more, as outside of one conversation, agreeable, warm, and honestly deep. Joining us now is EJ Antoni. EJ, no safe spaces here, but EJ, we did yesterday. I was at the campus, University of Arizona. We were speaking extensively about homeownership, financial anxiety. What do the numbers show, EJ? Because the question I received by dozens of students were, Charlie, do you think I'll be able to own a home in the next 10 years? Do you think I'll ever be able to own a home? EJ, what do the numbers show, please?
Charlie, it is so sad. We have almost created an entire generation of people now who very likely may never be able to own their home. This is a very, very difficult conversation that I've had to have with many young people in this country now, because by causing all of this inflation that has drastically increased home prices, yes, you've increased the paper value of homes that already exist. So if you already owned a home, congratulations, I suppose, because the value of that home, at least on paper, has gone up. But if you're one of the poor people who didn't have a home, who were renting, or maybe weren't even in the market at all, and now you are trying to buy a home, good luck. On top of the incredible run-up in home prices that we've seen the last 2.5-3 years, we now have these higher interest rates that are basically at the highest point in literally more than a decade we're pushing 8% now on mortgages, whereas before they were between 2 and 3%. So what has essentially happened is there are two different effects, Charlie, that are having a major, major impact on home affordability. On the one hand, all of the people who got a home with a 2 to 3% mortgage now can't sell it to someone else, because if they do, they lose that 2 or 3% mortgage. They have to take an 8% mortgage. And now the monthly payment on their home is going to more than double. They can't afford that. So they have golden handcuffs. They won't sell. So the supply of existing homes is way down. But in terms of new homes, the supply is also way down, because the prices faced by home builders to actually construct those new homes are near record highs. So the home builders can't reduce their prices either on the homes that they're selling, again, even though interest rates are pushing 8% right now. So for all the young people out there who did what they were supposed to do and saved their money to try to get a down payment, now the down payment's not big enough because the home price went up. And even still, they don't make enough money in order to make the monthly payments.
Yeah. I mean, so let's just go through this. So home prices were already high in 2019, not super high, not out of reach, but we create trillions of dollars that we don't have and flood the system with stimulus and bailouts and subsidizing. And so asset prices only inflated in value. And if you look at just in Phoenix, for example, an average single-family home went from $480,000 to $500,000 to now $750,000 to $800,000, nearly doubled. And then the interest rates alongside of it. And then, EJ, you have an entire generation that then also can barely make rent. This is a recipe for not just an economic disaster, but a political one as well. And I could go more into that one. But have we ever seen in recent history homeownership so out of grasp for young people in particular, late 20, early 30 somethings?
No, Charlie, this is the first time in this generation that we have ever seen that. You literally have to go back a whole generation, a little more than a generation, to see the last time that you had such a disparity between the cost of home ownership and the cost of renting. And that's really saying something when you consider the fact that rents, as you just pointed out, are already at a record high. So rents are at a record high and home ownership is incredibly less affordable on top of that. Now, Charlie, you did mention 2019. Despite the fact that, yes, home prices were elevated at that point, we have to remember that so was the average income and so was the median income. So if you made the median income, you could very easily afford the median priced home in 2019. But now that has been flipped entirely on its head today, where if you make the median income, you can't afford the median priced home. In fact, Charlie, it's so bad that in many major metro areas around the country, you actually need to have an after-tax income that is above the median income to actually be able to afford the median price home. In other words, for the typical American family, even if you devoted 100% of your income to your home, you still couldn't afford the payments. I mean, I don't know how better to define unaffordability than that.
And it creates a lot of generational resentment because the attitude I received at the University of Arizona is, why did they have it so simple and we don't? And look, a lot of people in our audience don't like hearing that. They'll say, oh, just work harder, kid, work harder, kid. I mean, hold on a second. EJ, you and I aren't one to play into people's complaints or grievances, but there's a legitimate difference right now between a 22-year-old graduating college today than a 22-year-old graduating college in 1995. Major differences. Is that correct, EJ?
Oh, 100%, Charlie. And to your point, this isn't a matter of grievances between one generation or another. This is strictly a matter of just what the numbers tell us. And what they tell us is that ZIRP, or the zero interest rate policy, which the Federal Reserve had basically for two decades, it's been absolutely catastrophic on asset markets, especially on housing. It has created gross price distortions. It virtually eliminated the incentive to save for a generation and a half. It's no surprise that millennials and the generation that has come after them are in the terrible shape that they are compared to their parents.
So let's talk about the federal budget, because that ties into this. Spending is the driver. Looking at the budget, EJ, and you say, boy, I would love to be able to cut this and this, where do you think is the most obvious place to begin cutting? The place where...
Oh, everywhere.
Okay, well, yeah, but we can't cut the interest, right? So that's $900 billion, right?
And, fair,
and
fair
so,
point.
And so Social Security, Medicare, that's not going to get cut. So that's like 1.6, 1 point whatever trillion. And you and I both know the sacred cows of the Defense Department. They're going to get a trillion-ish, right? And so just walk us through in about 2 minutes here, the best you can, EJ. That right there, we're at like almost $3 trillion before we even get out of the gate, right? And we're only bringing in, what, $4 to $5 trillion in revenue. Walk us through where the other parts of our budget where we're allocating massive amounts of money.
Charlie, it's a great question. And you make a great point, by the way, that there are a lot of things that, although we would love to say, oh, just cut everything, you're right, we really can't. There's too much that's baked into the cake. But what can we cut? I mean, for starters, roll back the entire IRA, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which did nothing to reduce inflation, but only exacerbated it. Get rid of all of the so-called green energy programs, that whole agenda from this administration. Yes. We need to seriously pare back all of the welfare spending. There is tremendous waste, fraud, and abuse at all levels of virtually all welfare programs. If you want to have states administer individual programs, that, you know, they can do that a whole lot better than the federal government can. They can do it more efficiently. And that would just be one way to help reduce that waste, fraud, and abuse. But the fact is that there is a tremendous amount of waste throughout the federal budget, and including defense. I know for a lot of conservatives, that's a sacred cow. But when the Pentagon literally can't account for trillions of dollars,
They don't do accounting, right, EJ?
Right. Exactly. We're not saying, oh, we spent all this money and it was a waste. We shouldn't have spent it on X, Y, or Z. No, they're literally saying they don't know where the money went.
Correct.
I'm sorry, but that's a very good indicator that your budget needs to be scaled back.
I think you're onto something very powerful here. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. EJ, I meant to have you on the program to explain the GDP number. The White House is celebrating it. They say the Dow is up and everything is wonderful. What is the truth of the economy that we are living through?
Well, Charlie, I think what the average American is feeling right now just completely doesn't line up with this GDP report. And the reason for that is because it's really emblematic. It's a classic tissue fire, if you will. It burns really hot and bright, but only for a short period of time. And then there's not even any embers left at the end to keep you warm. What is actually driving the growth behind this number? Well, on the spending side, you see consumers just going into debt to try to continue maintaining their standard of living. So you have an increase in debt, you have a decrease in savings. That's not sustainable. Eventually, those savings are depleted and the consumer runs up against the wall of being denied additional credit. So that can't last. On the government side, you're seeing the same thing where the government is simply just taking out unbelievable, just eye-watering levels of debt to maintain its spending. For investment, you're not seeing an increase in, let's say, factories, machines, things that are going to increase productivity and therefore long-run growth. No, that's not what you're seeing at all. Businesses are simply scared right now because inflation has accelerated, so they are buying more inventory today so they don't have to buy it in the future at a higher price. Now, while that does increase the GDP right now, in the future, when that inventory is sold off and drawn down, it's just going to decrease GDP then. So you essentially just front-loaded that growth. There's absolutely nothing in this report that smacks of any kind of sustainability here. It is simply a one-off and frankly, a harbinger that we're going to have less growth in the future. If you look at the growth, the investment that really matters, again, that's things like factories and machines for producing long-run growth. That hasn't changed. It's flat for over 2 years now.
In closing here, EJ, what do you think we can anticipate as far as markets? And I think we're in for a big correction. At some point, this asset bubble has to burst, or are we basically going to live through a new normal of 10 to 15% inflation and the money printing shall continue until morale improves?
Charlie, it's a really, really good question. Unfortunately, we simply just don't know what the Fed is going to do. So it's a question of if the Treasury continues spending like they are, which that looks like it's going to continue, then we're going to have this anemic economic growth. And then is the Fed going to behave and keep rates high and keep monetary policy tight? That will kill the inflation, but it's also going to damage the economy. Or is the Fed going to do what they've done for most of Biden's presidency, which is just print money to pay for it all? Unfortunately, Powell will say one thing and then do something completely different. He promised, for example, a 75 basis point hike was off the table and then delivered four in a row. So we just unfortunately have no idea what he's going to do. What we do know is that as long as the Treasury continues to spend and borrow us into oblivion, we are going to have poor economic numbers and poor economic conditions for the average American.
EJ Antoni from Heritage, doing a great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie, for having me.
Excellent. You know, somebody said, Charlie, I find it very hard to believe that these students need mental health counseling because you visited University of Arizona. I want to be very clear. This was not even a typical campus event where I, you know, go on stage and speak, which is, okay, not worthy of mental health counseling. This was a largely under-advertised, like, campus meetup in Tucson, Arizona. I literally sit behind a card table and the University of Arizona says, if you need mental health counseling, I mean this very seriously. How are these people going to exist in the rest of the world? And the answer is they don't. And this is exactly why the whole country has become a massive college campus. Instead of toughening our young people and strengthening them, we teach them how to complain to remove anything that triggers them. You don't like this comedian? Get rid of them. You don't like Charlie's Twitter account? Cancel it. It's a safe space generation. And what I found yesterday is that a majority of the kids that I talked to, they don't believe in that stuff. There are so many more right-wingers, University of Arizona, than anyone would ever lead you to believe. Strong and tough and patriotic. But it's a tyranny of the minority, of a mentally ill minority. You have deep-seated mental problems if you need to go see a counselor because Charlie Kirk goes and talks about house prices for 2 hours at University of Arizona. Like, you got some serious problems and you got to grow up. Stop making it everybody else's issue. And shame, contempt on the University of Arizona for sending out an email like that. You guys are part of the problem. As Candace Owens would say, life is tough. Buy a helmet. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.